Well, as mentioned, we have some special guests with us today, and some of you will recognize them, Randy and Carla Redmond, and their ministry that they are involved in is in Brazil, the home of the Good Shepherd. This is a home for children, and they're going to tell you all the different needs that is met through this home. You'll remember that name, Home of the Good Shepherd, because every December around Christmas, we take an offering for this ministry. And they usually send along a video presentation, and we show it, and we receive an offering. And you've always responded so well to that. And we're glad to have them here in the flesh. They are originally from Winnipeg, and God has called them, and they're faithfully serving the Lord in Brazil. They're going to come. They're going to share. They're going to share the word. They're going to take the rest of our time this morning. And so would you welcome Randy and Carla this morning. They're going to...
Thank you. Good morning. Great to be back home in Canada. We were here 2 years ago, and it's so wonderful to see your interaction and your ministry. You work in a community. It is just awesome. A huge thank you for your prayers and financial support. It is totally a privilege to be able to walk together as we together work at Home of the Good Shepherd Ministries. It is an honor today to be able to report on the return of your investment through your child sponsorship, through your donations. And yes, we had another exciting year. But first, we just wanted to pass some statistics, a little bit of background in regards to young people and children in Brazil. I call it the forgotten children.
So Brazil is a very big country. It's about the same size as Canada. However, the population in one state alone, the state of São Paulo, has more people living in it than the entire population of Canada. So there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of space, but a lot of people. It's the most violent country in the world towards youth. And we have one youth every hour between the ages of 12 and 18 that is murdered. That's 24 a day. And that is a horrible statistic to have. The second most reported crime in Brazil is sexual violence. And the victims for this is ages 10 to 14. There's some younger, some older as well. But that is one of the things that occur. And right now at the home, we have 86 children. Our capacity is actually 85, so we're like filled right up. We have a boy site and a girl site. They're about a kilometer apart. And we have all ages of children. They come in right from babies and all the way through, all ages. The reality is that our kids are actually not all orphans. Very, very few have no mom or dad. Almost all of them have a mom or a dad or both. But because of the different things that they go through in their life is why they have been taken out of their homes and they're brought to us, which is why it's called Home of the Good Shepherd. Before they come to the home, one word that really describes these kids, our kids, is violated. We have in Brazil 250,000 children that are involved in child prostitution. Many of the kids that go through this type of abuse are with us. We have so many of them. Almost all of our children at the home, even from a very young age on, boys and girls, they have been used in drug trafficking, been involved in some type of gang-related activity. They've been sexually violated or abused in some form, either in their own home or lots of times even some of our kids, their moms are in the prostitution world and they are raising these children, which then they also are involved in it. So when they come to the home, they're often very scared. They're angry. They feel numb and very rejected.
Throughout the last 12 years, it's a very hard, difficult thing. I have to go through all of the judicial paperwork when requests come to the home. And this last year, I did an exercise just to put a bit of an overview, a statistic together for you. And it is as following. Only 1% of our children do not have a mother or father. 23% are street children who are abandoned, neglected, unwanted. And 76% have suffered from some type of sexual exploitation. And the sad thing is, as we get to know these children, it seems to be a question of time before other information starts surfacing. And out of these 23%, you start finding out that they also were victims. You know, we live quite inland where there are smaller towns where our children come from. They come from about 25 municipalities. So imagine, these are our stats inland. Just think about the reality stats in the big cities.
So the number of requests that come in with these types of stories with these kids, what is really difficult, it's a wounding responsibility that we have, is the judicial system will send a request to us and say, do you have room for this child or this set of siblings? We have many sibling sets that are with us. The largest right now, there's 5 brothers and sisters that are with us. But they send a history to the home and they ask if there's an opening for this child. And it's really difficult, especially now that we're filled to capacity, in saying no, because the full history, the details of everything they went through, I actually don't read them. Randy reads all of them and they give far too much detail that you need to know. But it is such a difficult choice because you are really saying yes or no to this life. And it's a really just a hard decision place to be when you have to decide between one or the other. We strive to give the best care that we can to the children while they are in our care. Our kids will come and be with us for anywhere from a few months to we have one set of siblings that are with us for 8 years already. So it's a really, like, we never know how long they're with us. So we want to just flood them full of God's love during that time. And like Randy had stated, it was just shocking to us ourselves as we made these statistics to find that 76% of the kids that we care for have come from some type of sexual exploitation. They've actually gotten to a point where they think that this type of life is normal. So it's such a more of an importance for them to recognize that that is not the type of love that is really out there for them and that they are worth something. So many have no self-worth. We need so much prayer support from you all and appreciate it dearly. We come into all kinds of challenges and have to confront many different things. And your prayer for us physically and emotionally, spiritually is just so needed and so important. And we appreciate it so much. Many of our girls that are ages 11 to 13, they were living with 20 and 30-year-old men. with the permission of their mother. So this is the type of mentality that we're trying to break through and get them really recognizing how much God loves them and that this is not what he intended for their life.
We just want to give you a bit of an overview in regards to how the ministry at the home is set up. So the structure sort of works the following way. We have a boys' site where we have five cottages, and then about a kilometer away, we also have a girls' site. Yes, they go to school together. On weekends, they are together. The activities are together, but the sites are separate. And today, we're very excited. Throughout all of the years that we've been working on there, the same question always surfaced, and that was, what happens to these children when they get to the age of 18? Now, we're so glad to share that they have a choice, and we support them if they make the choice to go back to their parents, their relatives. And we also give them a choice now to start their own life. So how do we do this? With five other churches in the area, and this is like an offering type of ministry that these churches do, we supply the students with a small apartment that has the appliances. The program runs for about 12 months. The students then have to continue to study. They cannot lose their job. And they have to be involved in the activities in the local church where we give them a structure, just simple things like learning how to set up a financial budget for your month, right? And they are also encouraged to be involved in various ministry. We do tear downs in a high school gym on the weekend. They do sound, they do the visual. So it is so cool. Their interaction throughout the week, they work hard. Like, I take time alone. I go through the Bible, study it. They set together in little groups and start making up little dramas they can present on the weekend. And that is how they prepare for the weekend. It is so exciting to see the enthusiasm about what's going to be happening next weekend.
So as much as providing food and clothing, the most important thing for us is to really just flood them with the love of Christ. And that is what we are there for. That's why the ministry was founded 45 years ago. And one of the girls, just a story to share with you about a teenager who came about 6-8 months ago, and she's been with us over this time. And she was going through a really difficult time in her home. She actually had a mom and a dad that she was living with, but basically no relationship there. And just a really darkness, a heaviness over her life. She was suffering from depression. She was cutting herself. There was a lot of self-harm going on. And she came to the home and was scared and was depressed and just wore dark. And we had taken those clothes actually away and let her go in the clothing room that we have from donations. And they have got just different clothes that are bright. And she started wearing this and started changing through her day-to-day. And what was so cool is that even though in her family there was so much darkness, many suicides in her family that had taken place, which was one of the concerns when she came to us. But watching her change and how the other girls, the other students at the home started talking to her and saying to her, you know what, God has a plan for your life. That's why you're here. And so it was really cool that these other girls, which amazes me every time a new kid comes to the home, because the other kids will come and accept them and receive them with love and start talking and sharing to them things that they've maybe gone through. And it's just so neat. But with this girl in particular, she actually says, you know, if I wouldn't have come to the home, I don't think I'd be alive today. I think I would have taken my own life by this point already. And that was just a shocking thing for me to hear, her actually share that with me and tell me about that. And as I kept asking her about different things, I said, so what's changed? Like, what if she goes, everything's changed in my life. God has changed me. And it's so cool to see that she had made the decision then to be baptized along with 25 other students. Like, we had a group of 25 just now in March that got baptized. And we were so excited about that. And she was one of them. So that was amazing to see her take that step and just visually see from when she came to how she is now, how she is just so full of love. And she has started getting some home visits again where she's been visiting with her mom. Her mom has seen a difference in her. She's starting to have like a relationship now with her mom. She's coming and saying, I just can't believe it. Like, I'm actually able now to talk with my mom and dad, and I'm able to have this difference. And that's so much what we want, is that these kids, how Randy mentioned, they came from 25 different municipalities, and how now they are taking Christ back into their communities and just being a testimony and example. So the message is getting through to them. Of course, it completely depends on them to make that choice. We don't have all success stories. We have some kids who have made wrong choices. But we know that the seed has been planted. And whether now or later, however that comes to fruition, like, we leave that. It's totally with the Holy Spirit. It's not us doing the work. He's the one who has to work in their lives. We have so many of the kids that have come through, and there's a lot of funny different things. We have one little girl who, the house mom phoned me one morning. She shaved off her eyebrows, and she's like, oh, my goodness, what do I do now? She shaved off her eyebrows. And I just kind of told her, I said, you know, that's punishment enough, I think, right there. You know, it's like, what can we do? You have to, she's walking around like this without eyebrows. So it's like, what do you do? We have other different funny things that go on all the time. And kids had no boundaries before. Now they come, they've got hours for everything, when they get up, when they eat, when their homework is, and everything. So that's a hard adjustment for some of them. But it's so cool to see as time goes on how that changes. They come with so many past struggles, some of them with past addictions. All of them face some kind of challenge. Almost all of them have some kind of a rejection that they have gone through. And it is just so amazing to see in church at the end of the services when there's an altar time, and they come forward and they're just pleading for God to work in their life and change in their life and praying for their families and different things that are going on. And that's really what it's all about. You know, that's why we're there. And you guys are a part of that, you know, like, you're part of this change that happens to these kids' lives through your prayers and through your giving, and it just makes it available. We have another boy who has gone through many, many struggles. He came to us when he was 12 years old, very rebellious, very difficult to get along with, was making life difficult. He would run away quite often. It was just a constant battle with this guy. He has three siblings that are there, so there's four of them that are living there right now. And when he was about 15, and he had done this so many times, and we've gone through it, that the judge finally says, you know what? He lives from the next town, and he was going back to his dad, always running back to his dad and coming back. And it was really not a good environment, but the judge says, you know what? We're just going to let him go live with his dad again, and that's just what it's going to be. And it didn't take long for him to fall right back into taking drugs, right back into being rejected, actually, in his own home. And then even to the point where the father burnt his own house down. And so he had nowhere again to go. So they called us up again and asked if we could please take him back. And it was like a big decision that we weren't super excited about. But we have to always think of the other kids that are with us and what type of influence it's going to be and how it's going to work. But he came back and made a decision. And he said, like, I made the choice. I'm going to make my life different. He is one of our main helpers now on the weekends. He has just done like a total turnaround in his life. He has rededicated his life to the Lord. He was one of the students also that were baptized this past March. He's 17 now. And one of the really difficult things that he had to go through with his other sister was they had gone back to court where the mother was there in front of the court and said, I don't want them anymore. Like, I don't want you anymore. They were so crushed and so hurt. And just to hear your mother to say that, to reject you publicly in that way, it was just such a difficult thing. And I remember talking to him and his sister together and just saying, you know what? You guys are the start of a whole new generation. That past is past. And now you're going forward. So it's just such a cool thing to see where God is working, God is changing, God is doing something. Up the decision is the final decision is with the child to make that choice to move forward, to do that. But it is Christ working through them, and it's just so cool that we're able to witness that.
So the message of faith in God is getting through to the children. The need to move forward to build their house. I think it is so cool how Hebrews 11 verse 7 reflects all of this. In a way that we can receive healing and abundant blessings that God has for each and every one of us. It says in verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Here it reflects a action, maybe even pain and sweat, and maybe even confusion. I don't know if it has happened to you before, but if you are working, especially with a hammer, I've banged my thumb and my fingers before. It probably has never happened to you, right? And we are confused, like, Lord, why is this happening to me? But I think maybe it is a way that God helps us to refocus in regards to what he has for us, in regards to what the Holy Spirit has put in our heart. So yes, the children have found what true love is. And they are, how should I say, building their house, building their life by faith. And like I said, it is difficult. It involves obedience in the face of the unseen. So this conscious decision to move forward with God, you know, I believe is the trigger point to receive God's blessing. Maybe sometimes we are like, God, like, bless me, do something in my life, right? Maybe God is looking down and say, okay, buddy, like, get off the chair. Like, how can I bless you if you're, like, parked? You're not moving on. How can I bless you? Maybe you feel like you haven't heard the thunder of God's voice in your life. You know, I think that is part of the coolness. The way God is. He is so gracious that when he talks to us, it sounds almost like we're listening to our own voice. The Holy Spirit very often puts his desires into our thoughts. So in other words, you know, all those cool ideas that you thought that you had, you know, that is actually God talking to you, right? So all the credit, all the praise to God and hardcore celebration, how can we stay quiet and not vocalize in regards to what is happening in our life? It is impossible if we truly have a true intimate relationship with God. We are in his hands if we listen to his voice. And yes, the children that we are talking about, many are listening to God's voice. And they are making an effort in this intimate relationship with God, turning their lives over to Christ. And it is not easy because the ambient they're in, the environment they're in, there is a lot of voices trying to tear them down, pull them back. We're not talking about making a decision in regards to religion or being part of a political church association. But yes, a intimate daily relationship with God. And this relationship that we are so blessed to be able to witness in these lives is being reflected in their expressions, their daily behavior, their growth, and their desire to learn more about God. It has gotten to a point where it doesn't surprise me anymore when I go to the boys or the girls' site and I see them throughout the week in a little place in the shade reading their Bible. And I just praise the Lord. It is a real blessing to hear them vocalize in the beginning when they are have accepted Jesus and maybe at that moment they start praying, Lord, please bless my family. But as they go deeper with this relationship with God, their prayer changes. And they say, Lord, Holy Spirit, please impact my family's life, that they accept you, that they get to have what I have now, that nobody can take away from me. And they vocalize that. It has come to a point, I thought I was pretty cool, that it came to the dinner time, and when the relatives all came together, nobody touched their plate until this adolescent would pray for the meal and thank God for his goodness and his grace. And it is so cool to see the passion that they have for God, that he might impact those who, yes, maybe have rejected them, abused them, hurt them. It is so cool to see how they are moving forward, right? Moving forward and not listening to the enemy's whisper to keep looking back, but moving forward. I feel in my heart that you can totally relate. Why? Because you have your own story. You have your own walk. You have your own testimony. And we all have our own call to action. And now it is up to us to obey God, because now is the harvest time, right? And harvest time means what? It doesn't mean staying in the shade. It means moving on, right? Maybe even sensing a little bit of pain, not a little bit, a lot every once in a while, sweat. But it means maybe even being away from family. So for me, it was so cool today when I heard your involvement in your ministries here. I do not want to romanticize this work. It is very, very hard. And I'm not talking financial here now. You know, I am actually very, very selfish. You know, you probably have your war room and your prayer lists. So please, like, put us, let us cut the line and right on top, okay? Please pray for us. Please pray for us. It is so wonderful to be here with you. And again, with all of our heart, an avalanche of God's blessing. May God bless you. Amen. Pastor Ken.
I'm going to ask Beth if she would come up. through Andy. She's connected to this family as cousins, and this is really how we first begin to know of the home of the Good Shepherd. And I want Beth to pray for Randy and for Carla and for the ministry there. Would you stand? And we're just going to join for these children. Beth is a mom. She's a grandmom. And she's going to express that heart as she prays for this ministry.
Yes, Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing through Randy and Carla, through this home of the Good Shepherd. And Lord, we see that there is much need there. There is need for your Holy Spirit to do such a work in the lives of these children. And we pray and ask that you would make provision in every area that is needed, Lord God, whether it be financial, whether it be emotional, yes, whether it be the volunteers or the people that come alongside, Lord God. We pray that you would meet the needs of these children, Father God, and that they would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And we ask, Father God, that as these children put their trust in you, that they would be a bright, shining light to those in their sphere, in those in their families, Lord God, that lives would truly be changed in this community, Father God, because of the work that you're doing. And Lord, we do recognize that it is only the work of your Holy Spirit. And as Randy and Carla have expressed, they need you. They need an empowerment of your Holy Spirit, Father God, to carry out this work. They need your wisdom, Father God. And we pray, Father God, that you would pour into them everything that they need from your Spirit, Father God, to be able to do that work. And we ask, Lord God, that much fruit would come from this home. And so, Lord, we look to you for every good gift to cover the home of the Good Shepherd, to give them favor, Father God, as they go from church to church expressing the need that you have put on their heart. And we ask, Lord God, that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified, you would be praised in all that you do. And I pray that even here, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts, Father God, that we would be about the work that you've called each one of us to do. And that, Lord, that we would be fruitful and we would be about the harvest. And so we ask, Lord God, that today you would bless them. Bless them richly, Father God. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to pour into this home, Father God. We thank you for the opportunity. And we bless them in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Why don't we give these folks a round of applause for all that they're doing. Now, we're going to take a special offering. It's going to be Christmas in August. We normally take an offering for these folks around Christmas. We want to bless them today. We want to take an offering for Randy, for Carlin, for the work that they're involved in. And so I'd encourage you to take an envelope from the pew chair that's in front of you and mark it Brazil, and just we're going to have the ushers receive a second offering here, just particularly for this ministry. You can give it the terminal if you'd like or other ways, but just make sure you specify it's for Brazil, and all this money will be passed on to them. And if you're making a check, make it payable to KW Christian Fellowship. You'll be receipted through the church, but all this money and this offering is going to go on to bless this ministry. You can invest in the life of a child. You can see a life changed. They're our arm in Brazil because they're part of the body of Christ. They're our arm there, but we need to support, encourage them through prayer and our giving this morning. So you prepare to do that. Father, we thank you for what we've heard. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Now, Lord, we ask that you would stir in our hearts to give what you prompt us to, that this ministry can go forward and can prosper. In the name of Jesus, amen. We're going to sing a song of worship and celebration. The ushers, if you want to come, receive this offering as we sing.
Your faithfulness, it's hard. You lead me by still waters into my mercy, and nothing can keep us apart.
Wednesday night, I hope, and we'll share all that God is doing. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.